Let's continue reading Genesis 35, verses 16 through 29. In these verses, we have the record of Rachel's death, the record of Reuben's great sin, the record of the 12 sons of Jacob, and the record of Isaac's death. Genesis 35, beginning at verse 16. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel travailed in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." And it was so, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. And it happened when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard about it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant, were Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. Then Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had sojourned. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. So Isaac breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Once again, a few background notes for this section of Genesis 35. In the first half of Genesis 35, we have the return of Jacob to Bethel. This is where God had revealed himself to Jacob, you remember, when Jacob fled from his brother Esau. This is where God had promised Jacob that he would protect him and bring him safely home. This was the place that Jacob avoided for a while, but he finally returned after the troubles at Shechem. Bethel is the place that's associated with the revival that took place in Jacob's life. So much so that the phrase "back to Bethel" has come to mean getting your act together once again with the Lord and obeying him fully, no longer practicing partial obedience. God wanted Jacob to come back to Bethel, and he finally does. Now in the second half of Genesis 35, Jacob returns to his father Isaac, who is now living at Hebron. Now Jacob may have visited his father during the 10 years or so that he lived in Shechem, but maybe this is the first time since he left 30 years before. We can't be sure. In any case, along the way, Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife, died as she was giving birth to Benjamin, Jacob's 12th son. We see that Rachel died near Bethlehem. In fact, you can visit Rachel's tomb today outside of Bethlehem. It may be the authentic site. In verse 22, we read of the sin of the incest between Reuben and Bilhah. It is only mentioned here, but in Genesis 49, when Jacob blessed his 12 sons, Reuben did not receive the blessing of the firstborn son. I'm reading Genesis 49, verses 3 and 4. "Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, you shall not excel. Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it." So Reuben then lost his legal status as the firstborn son. In verses 23 through 26 here in Genesis 35, the 12 sons of Jacob are listed according to their mothers, that is, the four wives of Jacob. These 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, became tribes in Israel. So there is no tribe of Joseph. So you might say, well, wait a minute. Was the land divided up 13 ways? No, it's still 12. The tribe of Levi received no tribal territory in Israel. So the land was still divided up into 12 divisions, not 13. In verse 28, we read, "Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. Now, when you put the chronology together, this means that Joseph had already been sold into Egypt by his brothers about 12 years before Isaac died. Even though the account of Joseph comes, you know, in Genesis 37 and following. In verse 29, we read that Isaac was gathered to his people and buried by his sons Jacob and Esau. Now, Jacob may have visited Esau a few times before this, after they came to terms of peace, you remember back in Genesis 33. But on the other hand, Isaac's death may be the first time they see each other since Jacob had returned from Padan Aram and they had those terms of peace in Genesis 33. That would have been more than 20 years before this time. Well, a lot more we could say on the background. But now let's move then to our doctrinal or teaching points from this section of Genesis 35. Doctrinal point number one, faithfulness to God does not exempt the believer from times of sorrow. Faithfulness to God does not exempt the believer from times of sorrow. When Jacob returned to Bethel, it was a high point of his life, spiritually speaking. There was revival and renewal in his own life as well as in the life of his family. But just when everything looked like it was going great, tragedy struck, humanly speaking. First, Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. Look back there in verse 8. Now, Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree, so the name of it was called Allon Bacuth. Deborah had been in the family for years. Deborah had been Jacob's nanny, if you will, had brought him up. She dies. Then Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife, died in childbirth. How Jacob must have mourned for Rachel. Soon after this, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, committed incest with Bilhah, one of Jacob's wives. How this must have grieved Jacob's heart. Sorrow. And then we know that it was about this time that Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and sold into Egypt. And Jacob thought that his favorite son had been killed by a wild beast. We read in Genesis 37 that Jacob wept and could not be comforted. Think of the sorrow. And then, of course, Isaac, his father, died. All of these events took place in the course of about 12 years. After Jacob returned to Bethel. How do you think Jacob felt at that time? Here he had returned home and was walking with the Lord. He'd come back to the Lord, back to Bethel. But now his life is filled with sorrow upon sorrow. I can imagine that Jacob had a number of questions about what's going on at this point in his life. What is God trying to teach us here in this portion of Scripture anyway? He's trying to teach us exactly what we have as our doctrinal point. Faithfulness to God does not exempt the believer from times of sorrow. Is it possible that you're going through a time of sorrow right now? Don't assume that you've been unfaithful. Don't think that God is against you. Don't be bitter. Don't try to figure God out. We don't know all the reasons why God allows times of sorrow. However, we all know that we cannot come to know God as a God of comfort unless we have a time of sorrow in which we need to be comforted. You follow that reasoning? So that's certainly one reason why God allows us to go through times of sorrow, so that we'll come to know him as a God of comfort. And there's certainly many other reasons as well. David said in Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." We learn of God in times of sorrow. Faithfulness to God does not exempt the believer from times of sorrow. Doctrinal point number two. The faithfulness of God will sustain the believer in times of sorrow. The faithfulness of God will sustain the believer in times of sorrow. Through all of these times of sorrow, Jacob was sustained by God and continued to grow in faith. When Rachel, as she was dying, named her son Benoni, which means son of my sorrow, Jacob called him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. This is an indication that Jacob, in his sorrow, was being sustained by the faithfulness of God. He was able to see, even in that time of sorrow, that God was in control. Let me ask you this morning, in times of sorrow, do you concentrate on your sorrow, or do you look to the Lord to sustain you in your sorrow? It makes a big difference, doesn't it? We should follow the model of Jacob here. He went through some great times of sorrow here. Jacob did not become bitter and blame the Lord. He looked to the Lord and was sustained. You know, my wife, Margie, was just telling me this week of a woman in her community Bible study that has gone through some great times of sorrow recently. About 12 years ago, this woman's husband, who was a vice president with IBM, very sharp man, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. With God's help, this woman faithfully nursed her husband for several years as he grew steadily worse and completely helpless. Sometime after he died, she remet and married a longtime Christian friend. They were married for about 5 years. Just 2 weeks ago, the husband dropped dead of a heart attack. Sorrow upon sorrow. And yet this woman was out at the Bible study last week, thanking God for his faithfulness in her time of sorrow. That's a tremendous testimony. The faithfulness of God will sustain the believer in times of sorrow. What about practical application? Do you say Benoni or Benjamin in your time of sorrow? Do you say Benoni or Benjamin in your time of sorrow? Remember, Benoni means son of my sorrow, and Benjamin means son of my right hand. Rachel called her son's name Benoni, son of my sorrow. Jacob called his son's name Benjamin, son of my right hand. You see, when you say Benoni, you're tending to look only at the human side of the sorrow. When you can say Benjamin, you're looking to the divine side of the sorrow, how God is using this sorrow to accomplish his good purposes. And many times it's hard to do. You know, I know of a Christian family who lost a teenage son about 10 years ago. It was through a freak accident while he was riding down a zip rope. To this day, the Christian mother has not been able to accept this event from the hand of God. She continues to blame God for allowing it to happen. She's destroying the rest of the family. They left the church because she refused to accept the support of her fellow believers who were reaching out to help her and support her. It's a sad story. What about you? What about me? Do you say Benoni or Benjamin in your time of sorrow?